Will your church be one of the issues, etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues, etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues, etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues, etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues, etc. 300.
I think it is unconscionable that they would want to build a mosque here because you're building a shrine to the very ideology that inspired those jihadist attacks.
Why does Comedy Central give such deference to Islam while mocking Christianity? Is it because they confuse the civility of Christianity with weakness?
Go read one of the presidential proclamations about the National Day of Prayer and Kwanzaa and Ramadan, and all of a sudden, Constantine doesn't look like this dead figure of history. He's living and breathing on Pennsylvania Avenue.
My name is Mike. I'm a fan of Law and Order. I'm a believer in Law and Gospel, and I love Issues, etc.
We often forget that having been spared the scourge of communism here on this side of the Western Hemisphere, what mark it has left, especially in Europe, and especially for churches in Europe. We're going to be talking about the struggle of Hungarian Lutherans under communism for the first half hour of this Tuesday afternoon's Issues, etc. We are coming to you live. It's June the 8th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. After a conversation with Dr. H. David Baer, on the struggle of Hungarian Lutherans under communism, we'll talk with Pastor David Peterson about preaching and loving your neighbor. That's the first hour. In the second hour of the program, Dr. Nathan Jastrom will join us. We continue our series that we are doing occasionally here during the summer, Women in the Scriptures. Today, we'll talk about the patriarchs, wives, and concubines. It's actually more than a handful of women if we have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and their wives. We'll talk about them with Dr. Nathan Jastrom of Concordia University, Wisconsin. And then we will spend a few minutes in the last hour, near the end, talking with Pamela Geller, Executive Director of Stop Islamization of America. We'll talk about a recent protest in New York City over the proposed construction of a mosque near Ground Zero. Now, our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can email us right here in the studio in real time, talkback at issuesetc.org. You can Twitter us at issuesetc, or you can leave your questions or comments on the subject of the patriarchs, their wives, and their concubines at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Dr. H. David Baer is Associate Professor of Theology and Philosophy and Chairman of the Department of Theology, Philosophy, and Classical Languages at Texas Lutheran University in Seguin, Texas. And he's author of the book, The Struggle of Hungarian Lutherans Under Communism. Dr. Baer, welcome to Issues, etc.
Hi, glad to be here.
What would you say is the biggest challenge that Lutheran churchmen faced under the rule of communism?
Well, in my book, I argue that they face sort of two challenges. They ask themselves the question, well, how can they be church? That is, how can they be faithful? Be a faithful church, carrying out the church's mission and ministry faithfully. And then a lot of the churchmen under communism in Hungary asked themselves the question, how can we survive? Because, of course, the church was persecuted, and the communists wanted to eliminate religion, organized religion. So they asked the question, how can we survive? And various figures, various people answered those questions differently. Some privileged the question of survival over the question of being church, and others privileged the question of being church over the question of survival. And they had to sort of decide, each of them had to decide how they were going to handle both of these two issues or questions.
How bad did it get for Christians in general, but Lutherans in particular, in Hungary under communism?
Well, it was in the early communist period, you know, in the Stalinist period, or until probably the Hungarian Revolution in 1956, it was bad, I think, for all the churches. I think that the policy or the ambition of the Communist Party was to eliminate organized religion. The Lutheran Church is the smallest of the within in Hungary. In the Lutheranism has there's an established Lutheran tradition in Hungary, but it's the smallest of this organized or historical churches. The Hungary is about 70% Roman Catholic, 20% Reformed, and 5% at least historically 5% Lutheran. So the fact that the Lutheran Church was the smallest meant in some ways that it wasn't perhaps persecuted. It's certainly as bad as the Catholic Church in the sense that the communists weren't really concerned with managing the Lutheran Church. But, of course, it was really bad in the beginning. And then after the Hungarian Revolution in 1956, the Communist Party in Hungary and in a lot of places in Eastern Europe decided the best thing was to sort of establish a kind of modus vivendi with the churches where they would tolerate the churches, provided the churches stayed within very carefully circumscribed boundaries in terms of what they could do.
So it went from kind of outright persecution and attempt at elimination through various means to, in 1956, let's see if we can control Christianity.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I think that's right, yeah. Yeah, and in 1958, because... after 1956 to between after the revolution till 1958, there was a fair bit of freedom in Hungary and the churches, and then they started cracking down again. The communists started cracking down, and the goal was to control the churches. I think that's right.
Talk about how Stalinist communism came to Hungary.
Well, there was of course after the Second World War, the Soviets had occupied the eastern half of Europe, and so Hungary was occupied by the Soviets in the first few years after the Second World War. There was a democracy, liberal democracy, but there was a communist party that was supported by the Soviets, and through various forms of manipulation and intimidation, of course, eventually the communist party was able just to take over. So it was sort of converted. Hungary was converted to communism under Soviet, pressure.
You write about how the first line of this attempt to eliminate Christianity focused on bishops or on church leaders. Tell us a bit about that.
Well, they wanted to get church leaders who would cooperate. The communists wanted to get church leaders that would cooperate with them. And at the beginning, there was all various forms of pressure were put on bishops either to resign. Older ones who had been bishops who predated the arrival of communism were pressured to resign, or pressured in various ways to cooperate, and those who would not cooperate or were, imprisoned or pushed out of office, and then they would select, the communists selected people who were willing to collaborate with them. And in the early Stalinist period, I mean, there were several bishops. There was a sort of infamous bishop in the Lutheran Church in Hungary. His last name was Dezseri, and I mean, he was just a pastor somewhere, and he became bishop sort of immediately. And he was very young. I don't remember now. Maybe he was early 30s, but he was just sort of put into office as a bishop because he was willing to cooperate with the communists. So they pushed out the people who, either by forcing them to resign or intimidating them or putting them in prison. And then once these bishop seats were vacated, they would put in their own people in the early Stalinist period.
So they were essentially occupying the church.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say in the Stalinist period, and then the polity of the Lutheran Church in Hungary has bishops, and then it also has a lay office, the inspector, these would be people who were Lutheran, but they were not ordained or they're not clergy, and it was very easy to find for the communists to find people of Lutheran origin, and they would say, okay, now these people will be the inspectors. So they took over the church and the church offices in the beginning. I think that's right. Yeah.
How did Lutheran theology and practice fare in that Stalinist period? How would you assess the damage done there with about a minute and a half before our break?
I think that there was a lot of pressure on these collaborating bishops to produce a kind of public church theology which endorsed communism as sort of in a religious sense, as a, a reflection of God's providence, and Stalin, and the Stalinist leader in Hungary was named Rákosi, and these were sort of chosen by God to lead Hungary out of the out of the, you know, abyss of the pre-World War II era, and they basically endorsed completely the communism, Soviet communism, style communism.
So would you have heard essentially communist propaganda, communist doctrine,
yeah, you would,
if you
from
will?
From the church offices, I would call, yeah, absolutely, in the Stalinist period, absolutely, yeah.
Did they keep the form of, I'm thinking about, you know, a Sunday morning, did they keep the form of Lutheran practice?
Yeah, I think in terms of the church services, you would probably find basically they kept the church services. I don't think that kind of persecution extended down necessarily to the pulpits, provided that the ministers, you know, limited their message to, you know, non-political issues. So except for in the big congregations, maybe in Budapest or something, I think the pastors close to the ground in the parishes were free within these narrow limits. But, of course, there was lots of pressure to keep people from going to church, and they weren't allowed to engage in religious instruction. You know, any sort of evangelism, you know, that kind of thing wasn't allowed. So I don't think it corrupted the church all the way down from the top to the bottom, but certainly at the level of leadership, I mean, they were mouthpieces in the Stalinist period for the communists.
We're coming to you live on this Tuesday afternoon, the 8th of June. What kind of questions or comments do you have about the struggle of Hungarian Lutherans under communism? Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can Twitter us at IssuesETC. You can email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Dr. H. David Baird is our guest, Associate Professor of Theology and Philosophy and Chairman of the Department of Theology, Philosophy, and Classical Languages at Texas Lutheran University in Seguin, Texas. He's author of the book, The Struggle of Hungarian Lutherans Under Communism. 10 more minutes with him, and then Pastor David Peterson will be our guest. We'll talk about preaching and loving your neighbor. It's Tuesday afternoon, June the 8th. This is Issues Etc. Live.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org. Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Christ Lutheran, Jackson, Mississippi. Prince of Peace Lutheran, San Diego, California. Trinity Lutheran, Tryon, North Carolina. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Dallas, Texas. Calvary Lutheran, Yuma, Arizona. St. Paul Lutheran, Milford Center, Ohio. Peace Lutheran, Chehalis, Washington. Christ Lutheran, Noblesville, Indiana. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Lexington, Kentucky. And St. James Lutheran, Baltimore, Maryland. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. IssuesETC.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Dr. H. David Baer is our guest. We're talking about the struggle of Hungarian Lutherans under communism. You said that basically broken down into two reactions. One that emphasized faithfulness to a Lutheran identity or theology or practice, and the other one that was emphasizing more survival. How would you break those down?
Well, I would break them down in terms of how do they play out in the history?
Yeah, how did they fare under communism, these two different ways of reacting to communism?
Well, so they were, you know, there was the people who emphasized sort of faithfulness to the mission or the ministry of the church absolutely ended up in positions of, not really martyrs. There weren't that many people killed among the Lutherans, but as sort of confessors. So there was a Hungarian bishop named Bishop Ordas who refused, he was only concerned with sort of being faithful to the ministry or witness the gospel, and he was put in prison, and those who followed him, were persecuted, not necessarily put in prison, but removed from office and so forth. By emphasizing the witness of the church, then these people essentially were saying, well, we shouldn't be concerned as a church with our survival. The survival of the church is a matter for God's providence. We just need to be concerned with being faithful, even if it means the church is wiped out. That's just not our responsibility. So that produced a kind of witness response. It wasn't so widespread. There were individuals who represented this position. I don't think you really found a sort of a confessing church, Lutheran church, under communism, and then in Hungary. And then you had the other approach that emphasized the survival of the church, and you had people who wanted to focus on that to various degrees. So there was one very standard argument was, well, the church should focus on its ministry, on word and sacrament, but it can compromise on anything that doesn't impinge upon word and sacrament for the sake of survival. So we can be concerned with our survival. We can make compromises with the communists for the sake of surviving, provided we never compromise on word and sacrament. The problem with that, there's some integrity to that position, but the problem with that position was it became hard to define or decide what exactly belonged to the essential ministry of the church. At any period, ministers could stand up in the pulpit and say, Christ died for your sins, and so forth. The sort of core of the gospel you could present. You couldn't say it maybe on the street corner, but you could say it in church. So the question always became, well, how much could they compromise with the communists without sort of giving up things that really belong pretty close to the core of the church, at least in terms of its public ministry? And so there were various, so it moved along like that, and some people were so willing to compromise that they had no scruples, that they would do anything, they would change the message of the church to endorse communism. Most people who compromised tried to remain faithful to the ministry of the church or to word and sacrament, but they had to make individual ad hoc judgments about when a compromise went too far.
Generally speaking, how successful was communism in either stamping out early or controlling later Christianity?
Well, it wasn't successful in stamping it out. I mean, the churches survived and communism didn't. The communists were successful in Hungary anyway, in keeping the churches confined within the boundaries so that the communists or the government, the communist state, provided for it. So they were very circumcised boundaries, and within that sphere that was sort of allocated by the Communist Party, the churches were free. So you could go to church on Sunday if you wanted, and you could do some things, and then the church survived that way.
Was it possible to be to hold any position politically while being a professor Christian?
No. And it wasn't, and it certainly wasn't. You couldn't be a believing Christian and hold a position publicly. And if your children went to church schools, the Lutheran Church lost all of its schools, but they were Catholic schools. I mean, if you went to children went to church school, you were going to be discriminated against in terms of, later on looking for jobs and so forth. So you could always, in the core, you could always be a Christian, but there were social costs. And I think the churches were marginalized in Hungarian society and in all these Eastern European societies, other than Poland, in the communist period, although they survived and they were always Christians.
Did things get better after 1956?
Yeah, oh, yeah, things got better. Yeah, because after 1956, the policy was, I think the communists decided, well, we're going to give the church a social space. We're not going to eliminate them. Before 1956, the goal was really sort of an ideologically driven goal to eliminate churches completely, right? That's the Marxist ideology, was that, you know, religion would disappear. And they really, the communists really tried to make the churches and religion disappear before 1956. After that, there was a kind of agreement reached with the churches that, you know, as long as you stay within these carefully defined boundaries, you'll be alone. You'll be fine. We'll leave you alone. And of course, your church leaders had to sort of speak positively about Hungarian communism and say there was religious freedom.
Let's talk about the fall of communism. And it came rather, I mean, for many, far too late. But what did the church have a part in the disintegration of communism, and how have churches fared since?
Well, not in Hungary. In Hungary, the churches did not really play a role. I mean, it wasn't like in Poland, or even it wasn't like in East Germany. I mean, the churches in Hungary played no role in the end of communism. And in Hungary, you had a kind of interesting situation where the communists who were running the country by 1989 were reform communists, and they sort of negotiated with various political opposition parties the end of one-party rule in Hungary, the end of communism. And so it was sort of done from the top down in Hungary. And then once that happened, the churches started to experience freedom, and they had to work through the legacy of, communism.
What kind of mark? I mean, if you were to talk about the mark left by communist rule on the Hungarian Lutheran Church, how would you characterize it?
Well, it's a much thinner church in the sense that the Hungarian Lutheran Church was always a very intellectual church. Lots of famous Hungarians were Lutherans, and it was a very, despite the fact that it was a small church in Hungary, it always had a very sort of powerful presence in the country, and after communism, it's been so whittled down that it's sort of weak, and sort of, I think, most of the churches are thinking about themselves, certainly, and how to get themselves back on their feet and start educating and sort of returning to a normalcy. So it's a weaker church.
What we saw in a lot of former Soviet areas was that the church kind of didn't know what to do with itself after communism, the weight of communism was lifted from it. A generation had kind of forgotten what was going on.
I think that's true. They had it. First of all, they had to deal with sorting through the legacy of the past and who had collaborated with the communists and who hadn't and how to move forward. And a lot of energy was spent arguing. I think it's now moving past that period, but a lot of energy was spent arguing about who was a collaborator and which bishop should resign, and just trying to sort through the moral legacy. And the churches were so caught up on this that they weren't really in a position to minister to the society. In fact, I remember a Hungarian pastor once told me that there was a sort of a moment of opportunity for the churches when communism fell in terms of the population. People were ready for a message from the churches, but the churches were so preoccupied with themselves and just sorting through the legacy that they really couldn't, deliver any sort of engage in a public ministry. So I think that's not as true now as it was, when communism fell, but that's the legacy has been that the churches have not been ready, fully ready to engage public life.
When we come back from this break, can you be with us for just a minute or two on the other side of the break?
Sure.
Let's get a quick phone call in here from Steve in St. Louis, and then we'll respond on the other side of the break.
Okay.
Steve, thank you for waiting, and welcome.
I found something very interesting. When your guest was describing what the communists try to do, of basically trying to eradicate religion from all facets of life, I was thinking to myself, wait, didn't I just hear Hitchens or the New Atheists? I'm sorry. It's sort of like I'm starting to hear this story. It's like a record, just kind of in a with a group going back to the same thing. Where if we change who the players are, it's always the same thing.
Well, when we come back from this break, Steve, thank you very much for the call. We'll get Dr. H. David Baer's response to Stephen's observation. about the new atheist here in the United States, an affinity for the atheism that was driving communism, perhaps. Our call in number 1-877-623-MY-IE. We're coming to you live this Tuesday afternoon, June the 8th, talking about the struggle of Hungarian Lutherans under communism. 1-877-623-6943. Email us, talkback@issuesetc.org, or Twitter us at issuesetc. A few more minutes with Dr. H. David Baer on the other side, and then Pastor David Peterson will join us. We'll talk about preaching and loving your neighbor. He's author of an article in the latest issue of Gottesdienst, the Journal of Lutheran Liturgy, titled Loving the District Presidents and Learning to Preach. 1-877-623-MY-IE, talkback@issuesetc.org, or Twitter us at issuesetc. In the second hour of the program, Dr. Nathan Jastrom will join us. We continue our summer series on women in Scripture. Today we'll talk about the patriarchs' wives. You know their names. Some of them you may not know so well. Dr. Nathan Jastrom will be our guest, and then Pamela Geller will join us to talk about the recent protest in New York City over the proposed construction of a mosque near Ground Zero. Stay tuned.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Simon and Becky found out they were expecting triplets the day before Simon left for his second tour in Afghanistan. Doctors told Becky one child would probably be born too early and die. Prayer chains in more than a dozen countries and countless churches were activated. Each time labor started, so were the prayer chains, and it would stop. Becky got to 24 weeks before the first baby was born. Another earnest prayer was for Simon to get back before the birth. He arrived 20 hours before little Ariana did. Gabrielle and Caitlin followed 10 days later. The babies came home from the hospital in April, and everyone's doing great. Simon's savoring this precious time with his family because he could again be deployed this fall. See what the power of prayer can do?
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Dr. H. David Baer is our guest. We're talking about the struggle of Hungarian Lutherans under communism. Before the break, Steve was on the line from St. Louis. He noticed a similarity between the approach of communism then in Western and Eastern Europe and the less formal approach, but although the same kind of agenda for kind of expunging Christianity from the public square on the part of the new atheist. What are your thoughts there, Dr. Baer?
Well, I think that, you know, anywhere there will always be people who are enemies of religion or who think that, you know, Christianity is unenlightened and ought to and will disappear. So maybe at some broad, you know, very general level, there's a parallel or similarity. But I mean, there's a large difference. These communist countries, especially in the Stalinist period, were totalitarian regimes, and they were really not just, they were really trying to eradicate religion completely, not even out of the public sphere, but completely. Where, you know, in the United States, we have religious freedom and organized religion is fairly strong. So maybe at some general level of intention or there might be some parallels, but I think there are more dissimilarities than similarities.
Finally, then, what's the lesson that we can learn from the struggle of Hungarian Lutherans under communism?
Well, I finished the book without, I sort of want the readers to draw their own lessons, but I think the question that the history raises is, to what extent should Christians think themselves responsible for the survival of the church? And to what extent is this question of the survival or the future of the church not really a question that Christians need to consider? And the question really is how to be faithful to the ministry of the gospel, and regardless of the implications for survival. And I think that's the question that's raised for us, or for anybody who studies this history, is, you know, how important are these practical questions, and to what extent should the church simply be focused on questions of faithfulness to its ministry?
Dr. H. David Baer is Associate Professor of Theology and Philosophy and Chairman of the Department of Theology, Philosophy, and Classical Languages at Texas Lutheran University in Seguin, Texas. He's author of the book, The Struggle of Hungarian Lutherans Under Communism. You can find out more about this book under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Dr. Baer, thank you very much.
Thank you.